Les poches sous les yeux, l'interview, en partenariat avec la boîte à livres.
We're with Craig Johnson, the author of Kindness Goes Unpunished, translated in French by, as L'Indien Blanc. And we're here to interview him about his book and other things. Marsha will be doing the interview, hopefully. We're with you. There's Joe, there's Marsha, and there's Mr. Johnson.
Let's link up the monotony of all the masculine voices.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea.
There we go.
The enemy in kindness. The impression is that the enemy is actually time and the damage that we inflict on each other with regrets and things like that. Mm-hmm. Is that your impression as well? What was your enemy, the enemy you had in mind as you were writing this?
Well, it was a question of, like, you know, each book, you know, you try and do each book, you know, a little bit different from any other one. I mean, if I was just, you know, writing crime fiction and trying to find clever ways of killing people, you know, I would get really bored with that, you know, and mm-hmm. just go stay at my ranch back in Wyoming. But to me, it's kind of an opportunity that we kind of live in a period in time when people are a little bit more sophisticated in their reading, even people that are reading crime fiction. You know, it's the number one selling genre, you know, within book sales today. And I think that, you know, a lot of people come to that genre with the same expectations that they have for literary fiction, you know, whether it be, you know, fully developed characters, you know, arc of storyline, social commentary, humor, history, all of those things. They want all of those things, and they also want to know who the heck did it by the time they get to the end. And so what that does is it kind of raises the bar to a certain extent and allows you to, you know, maybe deal with some larger issues, like the ones that you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's, you know, that's what makes it all worthwhile, like that it's those layers, you know, that make the book that much more compelling, you know, to a reader.
Yes. And regarding those layers, where do you look for your inspiration?
You know what? 9 times out of 10, I have to admit that the catalyst, you know, for every single one of my books is a newspaper article. You know, it'll be, you know, something I'll see. And, you know, people always ask, they always say, are you worried about running out of ideas? And, you know, my answer to that is, you know, I get my ideas from social problems, you know, mm-hmm. social ills. And there are enough social ills that I can, you know, take a stab at one every year and I won't cover, you know, a millionth of them. So I don't have to worry about that a whole lot. But I think what it also does is it also keeps the books grounded. You know, it keeps mm-hmm. the books very well grounded as far as like the society and the culture in which I'm interpreting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm a cowboy. I'm from, you know, the Wyoming Montana border. I've got a ranch up there like that. And so it's, you know, the place that I write about, you know, it's right there near the Northern Cheyenne, you know, in the Crow Reservation. It's the least populated state in the entire, you know, United States. There are only like, you know, a little over 600,000 people in the whole state, you know, and so, you know, you gotta be careful how many people you kill. You know, you gotta be careful when you're writing this type of literature like that to not kill everybody off. And the town nearest to my ranch only has 25 people in it. So it's important for me to find other ways, you know, and other things to talk about, you know, whenever I'm writing the books. And I think that that's, you know, some of those layers that, you know, that I shoot for.
Yeah. So did that inspire your move to Philadelphia in this book?
It actually did. And it was another one of those things where, you know, everybody that reads my books knows it's not going to be the same book every time. I mean, there are enough authors out there writing in different genres that, you know, basically they kind of become victims of their own success. They have this one big breakout book. And then from then on, their publicists, their publishers, their agents, and everybody tell them that they need to write that type of book from then on, like that. And so, to me, it's kind of important to make sure that each book is different. And so, this one became my, you know, Stranger in a Strange Land, you know, kind of book. It was my my attempt to take a Westerner, you know, and drop him off, you know, into a large Eastern city in the United States. And it's not that that hasn't been done. I mean, there have been television shows, there have been movies, you know, where the cowboy is taken and put in a city situation. But the problem with that is that all of the ones that I've seen kind of treat the cowboy character like he's some kind of a boob, you know, that just fell off the turnip truck, you know. And so, for me, it was kind of important, you know, to see if I could do that and do it in a realistic manner. I mean, Walt's a sheriff. You know, he's a pretty good investigator. He's a pretty good detective. And I thought, okay, if I put him in a highly motivated situation where his daughter, you know, is actually involved in the case, how will he do against the sixth largest, you know, police department in the United States? And as it turns out, he does pretty well.
All right. So speaking of that and moving to Philadelphia, how much research do you or don't you do about places like Philadelphia when you're going to go and write them? Do you do some recon? Do you get a feel for the terrain, or is it more work of your own imagination?
No, it's got to be right. I mean, the one thing that people will eat you up alive on is, you know, the devil's in the details, and so are the readers, like that, because, you know, if you get things wrong, they're more than happy to tell you you got things wrong. And I live in Wyoming, so Wyoming is kind of second nature to me. But I also have, you know, two daughters and a granddaughter who live in Philadelphia. The more you find out about my personal life, the less, you know, you're going going to be impressed by the details in my books because I just rob everything, you know, from my real life. But it was an opportunity. Like, I actually went to school there. I had a doctorate. Like that, you know, that I went to Temple University. So I spent 2 years, you know, my younger life in Philadelphia. You know, and I liked the city. Like that, it was also an opportunity to do something else besides New York. You know, I just, you know, I didn't want to do the stereotypical stuff like that and send Walt to New York. And so I knew that, you know, with his daughter, you know, being a lawyer in Philadelphia, with, you know, Victoria Moretti, who's the undersheriff in the books, you know, with her entire family, you know, being police officers in Philadelphia, I knew that I had access. And so, you know, the opportunity to do the research is just, you know, one of those great perks, you know, that go along with being a writer. You know, you can tell everybody, I'm doing research. You know, I really don't want to go to France, you know, for a couple of weeks, but, you know, I've got some research I need to do. And so, actually, I use the book tours for that particular excuse like that. But, yeah, I think that it's important, you know, to make sure that you get as much detail as you possibly can, and also to be honest about it. I mean, that's the other thing is, you know, I'm kind of responsible, you know, for the places that I take you as a reader. So, you know, it's important that I'm not only, you know, accurate about places like Wyoming and Montana, but also Philadelphia, so that you get a real feel for those places. The last thing I want you to do is get off the plane, you know, at the Philadelphia International Airport, you know, take a bus up to, you know, just town square like that and get out and look around and go, this is not what is in his books. You know, so to me, it's very important to have those details and have it be correct.
All right. So you mentioned that you use a lot of your own personal life to inspire things in your books. How much of yourself inspires Walt?
Oh, geez. Look, that's a loaded question. I guess the way I would describe it is I would say my wife has the best response to that question, where she says, Walt is who I'd like to be in 10 years, but I'm off to an incredibly slow start.
What about him do you aspire to be?
Oh, he's very patient. You know, he's very kind, you know, and I don't know. I don't know if I, you know, if I ascend to the levels, you know, of patience and kindness, and he's driven like that. There's a lot of things about his character that I really like. He's not perfect, you know, by any way, shape, or form, because I have to admit that my least favorite literary character is the 6'2" of Twisted Steel and Sex Appeal. Every woman wanted him. Every man feared him. He could kill anyone with a number 2 Ticonderoga pencil in 3.2 seconds. And so for me, you know,
Jack Reacher.
Exactly. Like, now, I'm not going to say anything bad about Lee Child because he's a buddy of mine. Like, but, you know, but nonetheless, it's just, you know,
we'll send him a recording.
Okay, please do that. Like, he's a great guy. Like, he's a heck of a writer, but it's just, it's not something that I would feel, you know, particularly comfortable writing about. I mean, you know, there's an old saying, you know, that, you know, you like people, you know, for their virtues, but you love people for their vices, you know? And so I think that, you know, it's the character faults, you know, that make, you know, the characters that much more intriguing. And, you know, in all the characters in my books, you know, they're all very faulted people, like mm-hmm. that they're all very human.
Yes.
And that just makes it that much more, you know, impressive when they do come through and accomplish their goals and get what it is that they need to get done.
Regarding the process that you go through when you write it, because we jumped into this with Kindness Goes Unpunished, and it clearly wasn't a problem to jump into the middle of the series and pick things up as it went along.
I'm glad to hear that.
Is that something you look for when you're writing your books? Do you try to make it easy to jump in, and so you don't need to start with volume one and then?
Yeah, you do want to make sure that each book kind of stands on its own. You know, you each want each one to have legs, you know, so that like if somebody happens to pick up the book, you know, and it's the third in the series or the eighth in the series or whatever, that they can get enough out of the characters, you know, that they're in that world pretty quick, you know, because that's kind of what I want. You know, when I write the books, you know, I write the books in first person. So a lot of times, you know, the way I describe the books is the sense that, you know, you would come into the Busy Bee, you know, cafe and sit down on one of the stools there, and Walt Longmire would turn around and look at you and say, here's what happened to me last month. At that moment, I don't want you to remember that you're even reading a book. I want you to just be completely submerged in that world with those characters, you know, until you get to the end, and then suddenly the end, and you remind yourself, oh, yeah, I'm not in this world anymore. So that's important to me.
And so when you yourself are writing, what's your method? Do you go to a particular place physically or mentally? Do you close yourself up? Well, you're already on a ranch in the middle of nothing, so I think closed off is safe to say.
Focus is not a problem in U-Cross, Wyoming, population 25. Like, it's kind of the way I've assembled my life. I mean, I have to admit that, like, you know, whenever I come here, you know, and I come to, you know, beautiful cities like Tours, like that in Paris and all these places, it's magnificent. It's really wonderful, like that, and I do love it so much. But I do think that I would be highly distracted, you know, if I were to live, you know, in a place that had all of the options, you know, and all the opportunities that these places, you know, do offer on a full-time basis. And so for me, being out on the high plains, out in the middle of nowhere, you know, right there at the base of the Bighorn Mountains, mountains, you know, going over towards the Powder River. It's quiet. It's focused like that. And I can really, you know, be alone with my thoughts and think about what it is that I want to write about. And to me, that's really important, you know, because it's each one of these books has a message. It has something to say. And so, you know, I'm not just trying to find clever ways to kill people like that. And so to me, it's important, you know, to have the amount of time put into the books that they need. And I think I've lucked upon the place where I need to be in writing the things that I need to write.
Mm-hmm. Are there any certain rituals that you go about when you get down to writing?
Well, I'm a rancher like that. And so, you know, the old statement about ranching is that the animals won't wait. Like, and so I get up, you know, very, very early in the morning like that, get the ranch all squared away, and then come back into the house, make a great big pot of coffee and sit down and start working like that. And I'm kind of a blue collar author. I'm not one of those authors that sits around and gazes out windows, you know, and waits for the muse, you know, to hit me. You know, I mean, I sit down and I get started writing like that. And I, you know, I'm not too much of a believer in writer's block, you know, and so maybe I'm just enjoying what it is that I do. Maybe I'm just having such a good time like that, that, you know, slowing doesn't ever enter into it. And so I work all day. Like that, I write all day. And to me, it's a, you know, a dream come true, the mm-hmm. whole process.
All right. So last question to kind of round things up. If we were to compare a little bit writing styles between French writers and American writers, there comes out this common idea or this feeling that American writers try to connect with a community, shall we say, mm-hmm. that they're talking to a community and that there's a certain closeness or a relationship mm-hmm. that is present. Do you feel, would you agree with that? Do you feel like there's a particular community that you are communicating with when you write these books?
I think I'm guilty of that.
That's to say that the French authors feel a bit like snobs.
Well, I can't speak for the entire French literary population like that, nor can I speak for the entire American population. But I guess, for me, like answering for myself, like that, the answer is absolutely. Like that, I mean, the books are about a small, you know, community, you know, on the high plains. You know, it's a very small town. But I think one of the things you're always looking for whenever you're trying to write good writing is you're trying to find a universality. You're trying to find something that's going to bring, you know, the writer, you know, in, I mean, the reader, you know, into the process. Like that, I think that that's really important in the sense that, you know, you're looking for a universality so that, you know, here I'm writing these books about a Wyoming sheriff, you know, on the high plains, you know, up in you know, Montana-Wyoming border. But if somebody here in Tours is reading the book, like that, I want them to connect. I want them to understand these people. I want them to know these people. I want them to know this place. I mean, there are enough things in life, you know, and enough, you know, political parties and everything else that are trying to galvanize everyone and push everybody away from everybody else. And I think that that's kind of silly because we have an awful lot in common. So for me, that's an opportunity in the books also.
Okay, so thank you, and I'll be handling the last question. I asked this question once to a woman, and she said it was a funny question, but kind of sexist, so now okay. I have to ask it to everyone. Have your good looks helped you in your line of work?
My good looks? I wear a hat, so it covers up part of my face. Are you kidding? No. Oh,
your cowboy charm.
Oh, cowboy charm. Is that what it is? Okay. Maybe I should let my wife answer this question, because I think her answers would probably be more revealing than mine.
I would say so, yes.
Oh, would you know? She's got to get a ride back to Paris is what that's all about.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
My pleasure.
I'm